This is the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. David Tewksbury talks with the local coaches.
I want to make this point. We're here to compete for and win NSIC championships, position ourselves to compete and get into that tournament at the end of the year, play in the playoffs, and position ourselves to play for a championship.
She makes us better just by who she is as a teammate. Really proud of everybody and how they played today.
Players.
You do it again here tonight. Walk me through that final one.
It was just magic. Like, I don't know what happened. I was just in the moment. I heard coach say, like, go for two, and then I end up shooting the three anyway, so I was just happy it went in.
Media members and so much more, covering all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Okay, somebody is going to have to explain that to me, because that just makes absolutely zero sense.
And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Welcome on in. It is a finally Friday on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 14:20 a.m. 98.5 on the FM dial and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Good to be with you on this Friday installment of the show. My name is David Tewksbury, flying solo here on this Friday installment of the program, and a loaded show for you here today on FSA. We're talking with Sully Buttes native, or Sully Buttes grad more accurately, Chloe Lamb. She'll be joining us here in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the program. Looking forward to that conversation as she will go from Bismarck, North Dakota, and the assistant coach for the UMary Marauders. She will go to join her former coach, Dawn Plitzwhite, now in the Twin Cities with Minnesota. Looking forward to that conversation with her. And then towards the bottom of the hour, Nate Vogel, the new head coach for the Augustana women's basketball squad. He'll be joining us, another Sioux Falls native there. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. So a little bit of basketball for you here today. We'll get to the jump here shortly with lots of football talk. An abundance of high school tennis yesterday. Had some high school golf as well. And I would imagine a lot of cancellations and postponements here, not only today, but also into the weekend, as well as the weather is going to put the kibosh on, I think, a lot of the action in the high school realm coming up this weekend. But I will tell you one thing that the weather will not slow down is the Aberdeen Wings, as they've got the Bismarck Bobcats rolling into town tonight and tomorrow night. It is a best of five game series. Game three here tonight, of course, very, very pivotal. And in a best-of-five scenario, this third game is so, so crucial. If you can win game three, for all intents and purposes, and I don't know if this is appropriate to say or not, but it kind of puts a stranglehold on the series, right? I mean, you're up 2-1, and then you've got game four at home on Saturday night. So it's a pivotal one tonight. I'm not going to say it's a must win, because it's not. You're not facing elimination, but it's a very important one, to be sure. And that's tonight. Looking forward to that one on 94.1 The Rock with the voice of the Wings, Jay Kleinkonect, on the play-by-play for that one there. And by the way, we do not have any more tickets left to go, as I think this is probably going to be pretty close to a sellout tonight at the ODI Center. But through us here at Hub City Radio, we are all out of our Friday tickets for the Wings game against Bismarck tonight. So, having said that, we do still have a select few tickets for the game on Saturday. And if you are thinking, hey, got to get out of the house, getting a little stir crazy, all this spring cleaning and what have you, I've been inside all day long with the rain and the wind and all that good stuff. You want to get out, you want to get about, and you want to check out the Wings game tomorrow night. We've got a select few remaining of tickets. So give us a call at 605-229-3632. That's 605-229-3632 for those Wings tickets for Saturday at the ODI Ice Center. I'm David Tewksbury. Let's go ahead and toss this thing skyward for the jump on this Friday installment of the show. Matt McClure will be back in studio coming up on Tuesday, as he is off here today and on Monday. A little family time, a little wedding there as well, as he goes back out east. And he was texting me last night a little bit. He was watching the NFL draft. I, on the other hand, was just kind of chilling, working on the sports, putting it all together from last night on the high school tennis and golf side of things, and some track and field, of course, going on there yesterday as well. And my wife wanted to watch something else on TV, so I said, fine. But then her sister calls her up, and I said, all right, well, Seahawks are about to pick here. I think it was pick 14, so I paused whatever we were watching, and just through the Seahawks draft selection on there a little bit. And everyone on Twitter, of course, erupting. What a great pick. Oh, I can't believe they didn't pick him. Why did they pick him? It's just, it's one of those things, and we've kind of talked about this from time to time on the Sports Hub, with the NFL draft in and of itself, it's such a crapshoot. I mean, it really is. It is such a crapshoot. You have no idea if Joe or Steve or Kyle are going to be a generational talent or out of the league in 2 years. You have no idea. And anyone who says they do know, they're lying. They're full of it. I'm sorry, you just are. Oh, this guy's going to be great for the next 20 years. He's the next Tom Brady. That's another thing that drives me crazy about the NFL draft. Why, oh why, do we put labels on rookie quarterbacks or left tackles or outside linebackers? Oh, this guy reminds me of Lawrence Taylor. Oh, we're just going to go ahead and compare him to maybe the best linebacker that's ever played the game? We put these undue pressures on these athletes. And I get it, it's the NFL and everyone's now a pro. But it's just like, I'm going to compare Joe to the best player that's ever played the game from a defensive perspective. It's like, why do we do this? Why do we do this? But people eat it up. They certainly eat it up. And now here I am in my 30s, and I kind of see what my dad talked about back in the day. He says, oh, I remember when his son was playing. Oh, I remember when his son was playing. He's the second, he's the third. I have reached that age now, and I'm only 33. That's not really that old. But I saw a picture on Twitter here this morning, or the X if you prefer, and it was Marvin Harrison on the sidelines. And I'm old enough to remember when Marvin Harrison was paired up with Reggie Wayne and Ken Dilger and Dallas Clark and Joseph Addai and Edgerrin James. And I'm, you know, spanning a couple generations here a little bit, or different teams anyway. But he was catching passes from Peyton Manning and Jim Sorgi and what have you. And now his son is in the league, drafted by the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. So, yeah. We're getting old. It's pretty crazy how that happens. Also of note, yesterday there was over 275,000 people in attendance at day one of the NFL draft. That is a record. And my question is, it's just got to be a big, big party atmosphere, right? I mean, you're just kind of showing up there to maybe have some beers, be surrounded by like-minded people, maybe other Bengals fans or Vikings fans or Seahawks fans. And you're just hoping that your team is going to draft that next player that fills in the shoes of whoever just left or got traded or free agency left town, all those sorts of things. And of course, you hear that sound of, and you're just so jacked. Oh, who's our squad going to get? So kind of interesting. And of course, yesterday from the Minnesota Vikings perspective, they drafted a linebacker from Alabama. I've heard good things about him. Also drafted quarterback J.J. McCarthy. Now it's interesting because the Cobra, who of course is not here, but he has gone in on J.J. McCarthy. You know, he's been pretty vocal about J.J. McCarthy. He's not necessarily a huge fan. He doesn't think he's going to be great. And we'll see. Time will tell. And as soon as the Vikings drafted him last night, I said, okay, we're going to have ourselves a weekly J.J. McCarthy wrap-up with Matt McClure. So we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. But lots of quarterbacks drafted there yesterday. Six guys in the top 12. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, the aforementioned J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. And I'm seeing people on social media just completely melting down about these guys. I cannot believe they drafted him. I cannot believe they didn't draft it. We needed this. Why did we go with that guy? This guy's going to be a bust. I'm telling you, he's going to be a bust. I saw Danny Cannell tweet out last night, this quarterback class will now go down as the most overrated group of all time. Maybe. I don't know. He doesn't know. What if five of these six quarterbacks are Pro Bowlers consistently? What if three of them make the Hall of Fame? What if one of them does? What if none of them do? What if all six of them are the next generation of great quarterbacks in the National Football League? I have no idea. Nobody does. That's not great radio. I get it. Gotta have a hot take. Ooh, give me the hot takes. Give them to me now. I gotta have a hot take. I gotta have an opinion on this. You have no idea. Can we just let it play out? Can we just let J.J. McCarthy or Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix, can we just let them get on stage first to shake the hand of the commissioner, get their photo taken before we crucify the guy or say that he's going to be the next Tom Brady or Peyton Manning? Is that too much to ask? No, we got to have the hot takes. We got to have it. We got to, give me the hot takes. Give them a ball to me. Enough. Enough. Sorry I'm fired up about this, but I see it every single year, and the takes get hotter and hotter and hotter every single year. It's too much, Jerry. It's too much. Had enough. Let's just let it play out. And after one of these quarterbacks throws an interception in game two of the preseason, can we just say, they're allowed to screw up. It's the preseason. Oh, we got to cut this guy. Can't believe we drafted him. It's enough. Enough. Enough, enough, enough. Speaking of enough, that's enough of the jump for this Friday installment of the show. Chloe Lamb, she'll be joining us next. New assistant coach for the Gophers of Minnesota. She'll be joining us after this on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stick around. Rocking and rolling on this Friday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. Follow us on the old Twitter machine there, or X if you prefer, at Fox Sports 1420 AM, at David Tewksbury, and at the underscore Cobra 66 for Matt McClure, who is out of studio here today. Chloe Lamb, she joins us on the phone line as well. You can follow her on the X as well, at littlelamb underscore 22. And Chloe, much appreciated. Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. We appreciate it.
I'm happy to be here. I appreciate you sharing my Twitter handle. We'll see how many followers I get after that.
Yeah, you never know. You never know with the Sports Hub and what have you. We are growing, I will tell you. But yeah, Little Lamb 22, you sticking with that now? Or are you going to call an audible or switch it up?
I think I got to stick to it. I think it's you know, the wordplay with my last name kind of comes and goes. You know, some people really like it. Other people don't really. You know, but I like to have some fun with it. I think some good things have happened with that handle, and so we're gonna keep it going.
Yeah, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Doesn't need to be
there
fixed.
There you go.
At Little Lamb underscore 22 there for Chloe Lamb, who now joins us on the phone line. And you know, obviously, you did an incredible job on the hardwood for a lot of years down south in Vermilion. Did some great things out west in Oneida. Talking about your Sully Buttes years, we'll talk about all of that, but. First and foremost, you know, you're taking your talents, if you will, out east now as you'll take to the Twin Cities there for Minnesota. How did this all kind of come to be in this new assistant coaching position?
Yeah, I think obviously my relationship with Coach P and her staff, we've kept in contact since I was done at USD and they went to West Virginia and now here. But she's always been just a mentor for me. And so, we've always been in contact, and then, you know, just kind of checking in, seeing where I'm at, what my plans are as far as kind of my progression within this career. And I'd always hoped at some point, you know, her and I would be able to work together again. And, you know, this is maybe a little bit earlier than I thought that was going to happen, but knew that if an opportunity came up, I was going to have to take a real good look at it and really see if that was what I was wanting to do, and everything worked out for this time, and just super excited to be here, to be back with Coach P and with the rest of the staff and in a system that I obviously know a lot about and feel really comfortable in. And so just super excited to get to work and to be back with some familiar faces.
So pretty obvious to say you're not taking the job unless you get along with the head coach. You mentioned, of course, you played under her. What was it like playing under her for a handful of years? And now, obviously, you're joining her. So you two have a very, very close relationship, clearly.
Yeah. You know, I think Coach P is a very passionate and intense person and has such an intentionality with everything that she does. You know, I think her and her staff, they do a really good job of making sure what they're doing, what they're teaching, how they're developing these kids. And me, when I was in that role, it's super intentional. And I think for that, like, I really, really enjoyed as a player, and now getting to see kind of as their new teams the past couple of years have kind of adapted to that kind of stuff. But super excited to continue to learn from her, and also kind of see some of the things that we used to do and how those things have been adapted and have evolved over time. But yeah, it's she's a great mentor, has always been for me, and a huge reason that I wanted to get into coaching. And so being able to learn from her again is something I couldn't pass up.
Chloe Lamb joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, and you're labeled the Director of Player Development. And there's a lot of teams that have that title. It's kind of one of those situations where you look at that and you say, well, can we kind of unpack that term? So what does that mean to you to be the Director of Player Development? And when things are clicking for you and you're developing these athletes, it's kind of a broad term, but what does it really kind of look like to you?
Yeah, so, you know, individual workouts, helping, I think, you know, the nice thing about being on Coach P's staff and the way that she likes to do things is it's super hands-on with everyone in her staff, right? So, yes, we might have kind of our niche things that we're good at and can kind of split things up that way. But once you get to practice or even in the office, like, it's all hands on deck. Everyone's helping with whatever they can. And so for that, you know, I'm super excited to kind of do a little bit of everything, you know, and so getting to be with the assistant coaches and breaking down film and helping with scout team, getting, you know, the facility ready for practice. I might be looking at recruit film or transfer film or really like anything and everything. I think Coach P does a really, really good job of having that ownership from everyone. And so everyone is super involved on her staff, and I'm excited to have a hand in all of that.
I have to make this dad joke because, well, I'm a dad now, but you are literally a gopher, you know? I mean, it's just like, I know it's a really bad dad joke and I totally get it, but like, you've got your hand over here, you've got your foot over there. Like, you're literally a gopher now that you're now there in the Twin Cities. That's a bad joke. Yeah. It's a terrible joke, but you know what? I think it actually kind of works out, I suppose.
Absolutely.
Chloe Lamb here, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Want to take you back out west to your Sully Buttes days in there in Oneida. I think it was in December they had the court dedication there for Mark Seffner, of course, just passing away here in the not too distant past, I guess. Just what did he mean to you as a player? Obviously, you probably pattern some of your coaching styles around him, maybe to a certain degree. Just what was that night like for you? Probably pretty emotional, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. It was. I'm really, really glad I was able to get back to that night. It was, I think, probably the most special part of that night was just seeing like all of the players, both at Sully Buttes and at his previous schools, the players, the parents, other coaches from around the state, like just how many people Coach Seffner touched and how many lives he had an impact on. I think that was super evident, not only at his funeral, but, you know, at that court dedication. There at the dedication, all of his former players got out on the court and took a picture around his name on the court, and just to see how big of a group that was and for all of us to kind of come together again, that was super special. I think as far as like my coaching style, I think, yeah, it the foundation comes from Coach Seffner, right? He was the one who kind of started things for me at like a serious level, right? I suppose my dad and my uncle are in there in elementary school ball, but Coach Seffner was huge. You know, he had such a dry sense of humor, but expected a lot out of us, expected a lot out of me as a leader on the team. And he and his family are just a huge part of my family. And even kind of as I progress, getting to know, you know, knowing that Lynn and Scotty are still a huge part of my life, and are still keeping track of me, Just goes to show the kind of family that the Sefners are.
Yeah, it's a really cool deal for sure. And I saw that Ryan Deal tweeted out yesterday that Sully Buttes has produced now a couple of D1 coaches yourself there at Minnesota, mm-hmm. Caleb Currier there at Georgia Tech, of course, KB here in Aberdeen with Northern State. Just what does that say about the culture that maybe he kind of promulgated? And that's got to be part of his legacy too, kind of an everlasting legacy carrying on, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, I think Coach Sefner, it didn't matter what school you went to or, you know, what level you were at, but if you worked hard and you did the right things and did things the right way, you were going to have a lot of success. And I think he instilled that in all of us at a young age and when he got there. And so, like I said, those kind of foundational styles, a lot of that comes from him. And it's fun to see, you know, some small town kids doing big time things and getting to call those people friends as well.
I think it's a really cool deal for sure. A couple more here with Chloe Lamb on Fox Sports Aberdeen before you move on to your next, I guess, assignment and your next Gophers assignment there. You've got another meeting here coming up here in the not-too-distant future. But learning under Coach Newman last year up at UMary, mm-hmm. had a great year last year. And the NSIC, I thought, had a great year last year. Unfortunately, only one team on the women's side gets into the national tournament there, that being the eventual champion in Mankato. What was your time up in Bismarck like and learning under Coach Newman?
That was super transformational for me. I think coming out of college right away, Coach Newman offered me a great opportunity to be his head assistant and working directly with him. He really threw me into the fire, and it was great for my development and my growth. Same thing there. I had my hands on a lot of different things. You know, I think he and I, he trusted me and believed in me for he and I to kind of work together instead of like me being under him and working for him. And so I really appreciate that, you know, he had that trust and believed I could do it, even if I told him I didn't know how. he just worked with me through all that stuff. And you know, we're friends. He likes to call us besties, and we're pretty close. Coach Newman is a great guy. I loved Mary. Getting to be up there, have a lot of friends up there, and know I have a lot of support, and just a great place for me to kind of start out. And you know, honestly, wish I could have been there longer. But when an opportunity like this comes up, it's pretty hard to pass.
No doubt. Totally makes sense. And final one before I get you out of here. I know you don't really have to focus or worry about this going into the future, but the whole regional system there in D2 college basketball, do you like it? Yeah. Do you love it? Do you dislike it? Does something need to be changed in that regard, in your opinion?
Yeah. You know, I think after this year or this last year, it was hard. You know, I'm the type of person that even though all odds are against you, I still want to find a way to win. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the approach that I try to take. But it does, you know, hopefully with Mankato and NSIC team going and winning the whole thing, you know, as much as I was kind of rooting against them for a little while, you know, I hope people see how talented and how competitive the NSIC is, and hopefully in the future we can get more teams in at a consistent basis.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. All right, Chloe, we'll let you go. Much appreciated with you taking some time out of your busy Friday.
Yeah.
I know you're very, very busy indeed.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on the new job and the new gig. We'll certainly be following your journey, and congratulations once again.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. Appreciate the time.
You got it. Our pleasure for sure. That's assistant coach Chloe Lamb joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A very, very busy person. And I mean, she's juggling a bunch of different hoops or a bunch of different balls, jumping through hoops and what have you. And the fact that she made some time for us this morning, that's very much appreciated. And we'll certainly be tracking her career as she continues to grow there. From the coaching perspective, she'll be under the tutelage of Don Plitzwhite, of course, who she played for at USD. We will go from the D1 side of things back to D2. The new head coach of the Augustana women's basketball squad, Nate Vogel, he'll be joining us next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. Happy Friday. Work week is coming down the stretch here. And we've got ourselves another coach joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to Chloe Lamb for taking some time out of her very busy schedule and joining us. Now we go from the Twin Cities down south to the biggest city in South Dakota. That, of course, is Sioux Falls. Nate Vogel is the new head coach of the Augustana women's basketball squad. He joins us on the phone line. Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Our pleasure for sure. And definitely a homecoming for you, as, of course, you're born and raised in that area, graduate of Sioux Falls O'Gorman, of course, now just O'Gorman High School now. And just an incredible opportunity for you. I watched portions of the press conference there yesterday, and it just looked like you are just so ready to get to work. Is that kind of fair to say?
Yeah, it is. Man, that press conference was hard for me to get through.
Yeah.
You know, seeing family and friends and former coaches sitting in there. Really emotional day for me, but super excited to be here.
Where does that emotion come from? Is it just the fact that it is a homecoming and you've been surrounded by so many friends and family and former players and what have you? Where does that kind of emotion stem from?
Yeah, I've really never been close to family since leaving high school, to be honest with you. We've kind of been all over the place, from Illinois to Missouri to Montana to Texas. And so, I really only saw my parents, two times a year, typically once for a week in the summer and once for a week in the winter when they came to Texas. And so, just being able to obviously get myself, but my family, my kids, closer to family, so they're around grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins, is just something we haven't had in a really, really long time. And so having the ability to just scoot over to my parents' house or to cousins or whoever, I was talking to them last night, it's weird for me to say I'm living in Sioux Falls again. For the past 26 years, I guess it's been, I've only visited for a week or so and then back home. And so excited to make my home here again.
Yeah, sometimes it's tough, man. I totally get it. I'm from Illinois originally. My family moved up to Wisconsin. Now everybody is sort of back in the Midwestern area, and now I'm the one that's 600 miles away out in South Dakota. So I totally understand exactly where you're coming from with being away from family. It's not easy. And, if it were easy, everybody would do it. But it's a salient point. It's a tough thing to do. And now you have that opportunity to be back in your own backyard around friends and family and loved ones. It's a great opportunity for sure. Nate Vogel joining us here, new head coach for the Augustana women's basketball squad. And I noted that in the press conference or in the news piece that I saw, it's kind of that John Calipari bit. It's like, I met with the team, there is no team. And that was kind of the joking deal from, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever that was. Now, they've only got three players on their roster with transfer portal being kind of, in the front view with something that kind of hit that program a little bit. So where do you begin from the recruiting standpoint and to kind of field a team here a little bit?
Well, first of all, I recruit the players that are still on the roster. Yeah. We want to make sure that we keep the players that want to come back. And so that's the start, building those relationships. And then, yeah, we're this first year being the time of year it is, we're going to hit the portal really hard and try and get some players in here. We got a lot of spots to fill and not a lot of time to do it. So, we've hit the ground running. We have a recruit coming in on Saturday, so we're already going here. But again, like I said, got a lot of spots to fill. So, be on the phone and on the computer watching film. And so, yeah, we got a lot to do here.
Kind of a dumb question, sort of a follow-up with that, but broadcasters hear it all the time. Coaches talk about it all the time. I'm going to be out this weekend. I'm going to be on the road recruiting. I'm going to be taking a look at, Steven over there, or in this case for women's basketball, maybe take a look at Kelly or Samantha or something like that. Can you kind of unpack the term of recruiting and where you kind of begin from your coaching perspective? Certainly a little bit different this year because of, the scenario that you've kind of inherited a little bit. But for you, in a perfect world, what does your recruiting style kind of look like?
Yeah, and every coach is a little different. Some coaches want to see it live. I'm one of those coaches. I'm perfectly fine sitting in front of my computer. I just feel like I'm a little more efficient that way. I can see, 10, 20, 30 players in a day, as opposed to, driving and going to see a player for one game and driving back home. I just feel like my time's a little more efficient spent in front of the computer. And obviously, if I can get in front of them live, that's great. But I spend a lot of time on the computer, looking at film and calling recruits and their families and their coaches and So a lot of time is spent in my office, quite honestly, and then just getting them to campus and showing them what we have as far as facilities and meeting with the team and coaching staff and so on. So, yeah, but everybody does a little different. You know, I think I think one of the exceptions. I think most coaches would rather see it right in front of their face, and that's fine too. But, you know, I've kind of found a way that works for me, and we'll kind of continue to do it that way.
Nate Vogel joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, new Augustana women's basketball coach. How did this kind of come to be with going back home? Obviously, you did some great things at your last institution there with Texas A&M International, turning that program really around and revamping them into a contender. But was it kind of a scenario where they reached out to you, reached out to them, people were kind of hitting you up saying, hey, there's an opening there in your hometown. How did this kind of all work out for you?
Yeah, well, when we've really, my wife and I have talked about getting back home if possible. And you know, we never thought, you know, Dave Krause has been here for 35 years. And so, you know, we knew in Sioux Falls would probably be hard to get. We just were trying to get something close within 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. And then when the Augustana job opened up again, you know, as soon as I saw it, I showed it to my wife and said, this is it. We got to find a way to make this happen. And then at the same time, as, you know, I'm talking with my wife, I have, you know, I still have a lot of friends and family, almost my entire family and, you know, again, friends and coaches and so on still in Sioux Falls. And so they're calling me and texting me saying, are you going to go after this? And so it was a little bit of both. But, you know, again, as soon as that thing opened, we knew we wanted to take a shot at it, and fortunate enough to get the job.
No doubt. Well, congratulations on it for sure. And I mentioned your time at Texas A&M International. I mean, literally turning a program around from, hey, we're just trying to win a game right now, to a top 25 team. That's an incredible turnaround. Where did you begin with that, and how did you get it done?
Well, and it's kind of been the same at every single one of my head coaching stops. You know, when I took before Texas, I was in Montana. Mm-hmm. And took over a program there that literally had zero players on the roster. Every single kid the previous year had either transferred or quit. And so I had 6 weeks before school started to build a roster. And that first year we went 25-8, and the second year we went 33-1. And then took over the A&M International program, which, again, the year before I got there, they had won zero games. They were 0-27. And previous 3 years combined, they had won 5 total games. And so, you know, I guess the answer to your question is how you turn around is, and I know it's kind of a buzzword now, but it really is for us. We just need to get the culture right. We want to get players that take care of each other. We want players that are going to expect to be treated well by their coaches. And, you know, obviously if you find really talented basketball players who feel like they're taken care of, usually the wins take care of themselves.
That's a perfect segue, because I was just going to ask you about culture next. Can you kind of unpack that term? And has your coaching, I guess, culture, if you want to use that buzzword, has that kind of morphed and changed over the years in the way you kind of approach things?
I don't think so. I think, you know, I think as far as what culture is for us, it's what we do every day. It's not mm-hmm. signs on the walls or things we talk about. It's the things that we do. And so just we've always went after high academic students who are really good at basketball. And you know, we don't want players who basketball is going to be everything to them, and they're not concerned with going out and doing community service, and they want my kids in the practice gym, in the locker room. You know, we want players who are excited to come to our house and just hang out and maybe make a meal with us and sit down and like we just want a family feel. You know, I think most recruits want the same thing. They want a family. They want to be taken care of. And so that's our culture. And then again, if we can find really talented basketball players that want to be part of that culture, we're hoping to have a lot of success.
New Vikings head coach Nate Vogel here on the women's basketball circuit, Fox Sports Aberdeen. So the NSIC, obviously, I say obviously, it's obvious to me, but I thought last year they kind of got shafted a little bit with some really great teams left out of the tournament. Northern, UMary, SMSU was great. Of course, Mankato goes out and wins the whole thing. What do you know about the NSIC? Have you always kind of kept your eyes on the conference a little bit with your time elsewhere? And what does the conference kind of look like?
Yeah, I've always kept up with what's going on up here. And if not, people texting me, telling me what's going on if I missed anything. So very familiar with what's going on up here. Actually, Travis Trapphagen, who's the head coach at Sioux Falls, was my former teammate at Black Hills State. So we stayed in touch a little bit, but always interested to see how things are going. But yeah, obviously a really, really good conference, but also a very tough region with you know, the other schools in this region. It's hard to get into that region tournament. Yeah, so, you know, we're excited. We know we got some work to do here. There's some really good teams, and we got to make some progress. But we feel if we get some talented players, we're going to be able to compete. We feel like we have some of the nicest facilities in the conference. We're well-funded. So, you know, Sioux Falls is a great city. And so we're excited about what we can do here.
We had Chloe Lamb on just before you, Coach, and I asked the question about the regional, and it is what it is right now. But do you like the regional? Do you love it? Are you kind of like, best 64 teams? I'm not so sure they're always making the tournament. I guess what's your two cents on the region? I know it's not going to change anytime soon, at least I don't think. But what say you about the whole system that we have right now?
Yeah, if I'm 100% honest, I hate it. Yeah. I hate it. I think, you know, every other level of basketball, all the way from JUCO to NAI to Division III and Division I, all have a true national tournament where you're playing teams from all over the place. And Division II is the only one where they have that regional situation where, you know, if you're really good, you're probably playing a team four times in your own conference to win the championship, because, you know, you're going to play them twice probably in the regular season. You're going to meet up with them in the conference tournament, and then you got to beat them again in that region tournament. And so I just think there's a better way to do it. I know it is being discussed, but as you said, I don't know that change is going to happen real quick. But I really do hope it changes so that we can make it a true national tournament.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Maybe it will be changed at some point in time in the not-too-distant future. I think people smarter than both of us will be making those decisions, or allegedly smarter than both of us. I don't know. It's just one of those deals. It is what it is, and just got to go out there and perform and just control the controllables, I guess, to your point there. But maybe one or two more here with Nate Vogel, Fox Sports Aberdeen. So what's the last 24 to 48 hours been like for you, and what's the next 24 to 48 hours? Obviously, you've got a recruit coming onto campus coming up tomorrow, but what's kind of the future looking like here too?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been hectic. You know, we had on Tuesday they made the announcement. I got on a 6 a.m. flight on Wednesday, and then press conference yesterday, and some other radio interviews, and yours obviously today, and a few more coming up. So it's been a lot of, I guess, quote-unquote non-basketball stuff, which obviously goes with the territory. That's part of college coaching. But, yeah, you know, now I got a – we actually did have practice on Wednesday as well. So we're trying to get everything done in a short amount of time. We have an auction tonight, big fundraiser event, so – things are going to continue to be hectic here for a little while, but need to find time, like I said, to get on the phone and watch some film and get the recruiting part done as well. So, you know, lot to do, but that's how it works. That's college coaching. So really fortunate to be in this position, and wouldn't change anything at all. You know, we got a lot to do, but that's what we need to do.
Final one before I get you out of here. What does success look like for you next year? What are your goals? I mean, obviously every coach wants to go out there and win every single game, but it's not going to happen, whether you're a coach that's been at a school for 20 years or your first year. So what is success, and what are your goals kind of looking like here for the 24 and 25 campaign?
Yeah, focus is just make sure our players have a good experience. I think, you know, I'm kind of repeating some stuff that I've already mentioned, but you know, really want them to feel like they're taken care of. I think, you know, winning is obviously a big part of that. It's hard to have a good experience if you're not winning. And so we're going to do everything we can to be successful on the court, but we also want to make sure our kids continue to be good academically and get it out in the community. And just, you know, we want to make sure that they enjoy each other as well. You know, we want to find good teammates for the players that are here, and, you know, talking about that culture and just finding the right people. So, and, you know, we want to win. We want to hang banners just like every other coach in the nation wants to do. But, you know, first step for us is taking care of each other, taking care of the culture. And then, again, hopefully the winning part and the hanging the banners and getting the trophies will take care of itself.
The next thing you know, you're going to be reporting for camp, and basketball season will be here, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm giddy. I mean, from the perspective of a broadcaster, basketball play-by-play is just a lot of fun, and looking forward to talking with you later on down the road when basketball season hits, and congratulations again, Coach. Appreciate your time, and good luck this upcoming year.
Yeah, thank you again for having me on. It was my pleasure.
And my pleasure for sure as well. That's Nate Vogel, new head coach for the Augustana women's basketball squad, joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And, you know, looking forward to that season coming up here in the not-too-distant future, and to see how that program kind of grows and evolves and changes coming up here in the not-too-distant future there as well. We'll come on back and wrap up this installment of the Sports Hub after this on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stick around. Back on this finally Friday here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, our thanks to Chloe Lamb and Nate Vogel for joining us here. A couple great guests on this Friday installment of the Sports Hub. Much appreciated with them taking time out of their very, very busy schedules. And I tell you what, whether that's starting up a new gig or just being in that sort of recruiting process as a head coach that you've been there for X amount of years, I mean, I hate to invoke my guy, Mr. Unlimited here, but there is no time to sleep. You know, college basketball, it's 24/7, 365 recruiting season. Players are coming and going, and best of luck to both of those head coaches in Coach Vogel and Coach Lamb. Appreciate them for joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. High school news and notes from yesterday at Moccasin Creek Country Club right here in the Hub City. The Aberdeen Central Girls Golf Squad, they picked up a team as well as individual victories during the Hub City invite. Golden Eagles won collectively as a squad by one stroke over second place Mitchell, nine shots ahead of third place Watertown. Individually, the only player for Aberdeen Central that was above par, the only player for anybody that was above par, was the Golden Eagles' Olivia Braun. She finished the day one under and five shots ahead of second place Maddie Childs from Mitchell. Emma Dorr finished in seventh place. She was 10 shots over par. Kylie Weyerbaugh finished in 10th place at 12 over par. So job well done there for the Golden Eagles yesterday. Down south in Sioux Falls, it was all about the wind, and it was all about the victories for Aberdeen-Roncalli as they picked up dual victories over Vermilion, Madison, and Spearfish, all final scores of 8-1, as the Roncalli boys picked up singles victories from Palmer Johnson, Gannon May, Landon Zickmund, Jaden Reese, and also Ezra Feichert there. So a job well done. For the Central tennis squad, they were supposed to be out west in Rapid City yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but that meet has been postponed, or pardon me, more accurately canceled because of the weather out west there. The track and field action from yesterday, there was an abundance of that with the Legion relays, as well as the Lyman Cecil Johnson invite and the YTC meet. On our website, hubcityradio.com is the place to check out all of those individual notes there. For the Legion relays, dual would finish in first place for the girls and boys respectively. At the Lyman Cecil Johnson invite there, for the Falkton girls, they would finish in first place, while the Gregory boys would be in first. And also of a note, you had the YTC invite, and North Central, the girls and boys, were both in first place. On the college side of things, Northern State University, their track and field squads, they competed in the Kip Janvrin Open hosted by Simpson College. And Josh Martin, he won the 1,500-meter race and finished in a time of 3 minutes and 54 seconds. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details there. Also of note, mentioned that the Minnesota Twins needed to win at least 3 out of 4 against the White Sox to feel good about that series. And better than that, they would break out the brooms. They defeated the White Sox yesterday 6-3. White Sox now drop to a league-worst 3-22. Just absolutely putrid. Also of note, today, the Al Sali invite with Aberdeen Central, Roncalli, Frederick, and Groton High School track and field. That's been canceled due to weather. I would imagine a lot of cancellations and postponements here this weekend. We're back at it on Monday on Fox Sports Aberdeen.